Parshas Boy. In Parshas Boy, we find in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis the very first mitzvah that's given to Klal Yisrael as a nation. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. The mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon. And of course, the question that must be asked and is asked of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, why must this be the first? We surely would have chosen perhaps the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, maybe the mitzvah of Shabbos, plenty of other mitzvahs that we would have thought that would be more appropriate perhaps to be the first mitzvah. And yet no. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. So this is the first question. Why must this be the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael receive? And of course, there must surely be something to do with the fact that they were in Mitzrayim, on the verge of the Geula of Mitzrayim. So what is the significance of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh? In the very next pasuk, Klal Yisrael then receive a tzivui for the next mitzvah. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Dabru al Kol Adas Yisrael Leimoir. What must they do on the 10th of the month? Vayikhu Lohem Ish Se LeBeis Avos. This is of course the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Finally, in Perek Pasuk Mem Ches, in the very same Perek, it says when telling us all the instructions of the Korban Pesach, just before Shvi, it says, Himoil loy kol zocher. One has to circumcise all the male members of Klal Yisrael, and only then, Va'oz yikrav la'asoistoy, only then you can sacrifice the korban, but the kol orel, anybody who's uncircumcised, loy yoichal boy. So here we have, before the geula is underway, Klal Yisrael have just now received three mitzvahs. Number one, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Number two, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And number three, the mitzvah of Mila. Now, we know essentially the mitzvah of Mila was already in place long before this whole episode. Avraham Avinu had already received the mitzvah of Mila. So clearly the further instruction now to do Bris Mila is with specific regard to Korban Pesach. Meaning, there's a general chiyuv, one has to perform the mitzvah of Mila, but specifically with regard to Korban Pesach, there is an issa, an oral, somebody who's uncircumcised, neither can he sacrifice nor participate in the eating of Korban Pesach, and that's why the mitzvah of Mila had to be taught again to Klal Yisrael. So our big question tonight is, what is the common denominator? Is there a common denominator between these three mitzvahs? Kiddush HaChodesh, which is, of course, as we mentioned, the difficulty in its own right. Why would that take center stage as the first mitzvah? Number two, Korban Pesach. Number three, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Bris Mila. So I'd like to share with you an approach that I saw in the Sefer Be'er Yosef. The Be'er Yosef al HaTorah was written by Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Salant, one of the great Magidim in Yerushalayim. Perhaps 70 or 80 years ago, he has a very beautiful approach to explain pretty much everything we have just mentioned. And then Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, we will try and explain the Be'er Yosef in greater depth, Alpi, a Yesoid, which we have discussed many times, a Yesoid of the Beis Halevi, and Be'ezus Hashem, this will help us gain a deeper understanding into the whole concept of Golus Mitzrayim, and then Geulas Mitzrayim. The Be'er Yosef first turns our attention to a Medrash. And this Medrash is widely quoted and much discussed. It's a Medrash that appears in Parashas Va'eschana. Now we have to listen very carefully to the words of the Torah. The Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out Klal Yisrael, and this is the Loshon of the Pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan, Goy Mikerev Goy. Those are the three words. Goy Mikerev Goy, literally translated, a nation from amongst a nation. And the Medrash says, what does it mean, Goy Mikerev Goy? Ka'odom, it's like a person, Shehu Shoymet, Esa Ubor, Mimei Behema. It's like a person who's delivering a child, childbirth. The Medrash mentions the example of a behemoth. You would pluck out this entity called the fetus from Mimei behemoth. Kach, says the Medrash, Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu plucked out Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. That's being equated to childbirth. Like the midwife pulls out, as it were, the ubar, the unborn child, and allows him to be born. And of course, this needs understanding. What exactly is the equating of Klal Yisrael's exodus from Egypt to a child being born? Why are those two things comparable? So the Be'er Yosef explains very beautifully. A midwife, somebody who's helping to give birth, does not pull out the child until the child has made his own first move. There's contractions, the birth process begins, the child, as it were, makes his first move out, then needs assistance, so the midwife or the doctor will assist the child then enter la'avir ha'olam. But the first move has to be made on the part of the unborn child who's going to become born. Says the Be'er Yosef, that is the comparison of it. That is the comparison. Klal Yisrael were taken, quote unquote, out of Mitzrayim, but they had to make the first move. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not step in, as it were, to take them out of Mitzrayim until they made their first move. What was that move? Just like the unborn child makes his move, as it were, to become a separate entity from the mother, because until that point, they're one solid, homogeneous entity. We know Chazal described this as Ubar Yerech Imoy. The unborn child is a part and parcel of the mother. There's no two beings over here, they're considered one. The child then begins to separate himself, to form his own existence, and then and only then can the doctor or the midwife deliver the child. But the child has to make that first move. And that first move is becoming independent, separating himself from his connection that he's had until now with the mother. So too, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were connected to Mitzrayim. And this is very critical to understand. They were not just geographically or physically in the land of Egypt, but they were connected to Mitzrayim, their culture, their way of life, like the unborn child to the mother. And we know this because Klal Yisrael had hit rock bottom, the 49th level of Tumah. As we know, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a whole debate. The Malachim were very unhappy. Why are they more worthy than the Mitzrayim? The Mitzrayim were serving Avodah Zarah, but so are they. There's not much difference. In other words, they had literally fused together with the Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want for a Geula to take place, for Klal Yisrael to be born, as it were, then you have to make the first move. You have to begin separating yourself, cutting yourself off from Mitzrayim, not just geographically, culturally, hashkafically, and then and only then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring about the Geula. So he says, if you look now at the three mitzvahs that we mentioned, Kiddush HaChodesh, Korban Pesach, and Bris Milah, that is the common theme between all three mitzvahs, in reverse order. Bris Milah, everybody understands. The whole concept of Bris Milah is that we have the stamp on our guf to announce that we are different from Goyim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me see you do that. Let me see you perform Bris Milah, and that will be your declaration, your first step away from the Mitzrayim. That's what Bris Milah is all about. We are different. We are not to be merged with the Mitzrayim. Korban Pesach, says the Be'er Yosef, think a little bit. about all the various interesting halachas of Korban Pesach, and you'll see that they all bring you in one direction. They all bring you to the same point. And what is that point? Segregation from Mitzrayim. First and foremost, what were they told? They were told, it's a medrash, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, in the Torah, Mishchu ukachu lochem tzoyim. Draw for yourself the sheep. You know what the Medrash says on that Pasuk? Mishchu, what that means is, Kloima, Mishchu yedeichem, draw, withdraw, me'avodas kechavim. We know the sheep, the Tler, was the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. This is not just symbolic, this is very, very real. Mishchu yedeichem means withdraw from Avodah Zarah. Take that very lamb, which is the whole idol, icon of the Mitzrayim, and slaughter it. What are you announcing when you're doing that? We're moving away now from the Mitzrayim. We're moving away from that way of life. That's what it means, mishchu, draw, withdraw. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very makpid, as it were. Don't just take any animal. It has to be the tler. That's the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. Furthermore, how is the korban to be treated? It has to be roasted. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care how it's eaten? It should be cooked or baked or roasted. Say the Meforshim, the Chizkuni and others, because when you roast something, all the smoke and the steam goes up and it can be smelt for miles. That's exactly the purpose of it. We wanted the Mitzrayim to know and to notice this. Not that this was happening incognito that nobody knew about. This was a clear declaration. The Mitzrayim, I hope you're aware exactly what's happening. All the smoke will be wafting across Mitzrayim. Do you know why? Because Klal Yisrael have just shechted your Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, put the dam on the door. Let every Mitzri who walks past you see that dam. Look what they have on the Jewish front door. The dam of our Avodah Zarah. And that's why we find so many halachas that the Torah describes, don't let a non-Jew participate in the Korban Pesach. Kol ben nechor lo yoichal boy. Kol oral lo yoichal boy. You cannot partake in the Korban Pesach if you're non-Jewish or if you are uncircumcised. Why? Because that's antithetical to the whole concept of the Korban. The whole purpose of the Korban is that we are different to Goyim. So what are you going to have? A Goyim taking part in your Korban Pesach party? That's the opposite of the whole purpose of Korban Pesach. All of this, therefore, brings us to the inescapable conclusion that the purpose of Korban Pesach was exactly like the mitzvah of Milah, to make a clear announcement and declaration, we are moving away from the Mitzrayim. We have made our first step. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can finish off that birth. But every birth begins with a child making his own move. Says the Be'er Yosef in conclusion, that brings us finally to Kiddush HaChodesh. We ask Kiddush HaChodesh, a wonderful mitzvah, why must that be the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael receive, and exactly at this most epic moment in their history? Says the Be'er Yosef, a wonderful interpretation, because as we well know, the moon does not have any of its own light. The moon radiates the sun's light. It's an astronomical fact, ironic as it may sound, but I know we have a scientist over here and he'll tell us if we're wrong, that the further away the moon is from the sun, the more it radiates its light. I did check this out, by the way. The closer it gets to the sun, the less it radiates. Says the Be'er Yosef, that's the point of it here. We are the nation that follows the moon. The Goyim follow the sun. When we're sanctifying the new moon, what are we doing exactly? We're celebrating the moon, the tremendous light of the moon. But when does that moon radiate its best? When does it thrive? When it's furthest from the sun. We are the nation who thrive most when we are furthest from the Goyim, not when we're close to them. So the exact theme of Korban Pesach and Bris Mila, that precisely is the theme of Kiddush HaChodesh as well. Sanctify, celebrate, understand what the moon is all about. The moon will thrive most when it's furthest away from the sun. So too, the further you get from Mitzrayim, the more you will thrive. That's the Be'er Yosef's beautiful interpretation of all of these three mitzvahs. So I think we understand very well now why it is exactly at this point in their history, Klal Yisrael have to receive the mitzvahs of Kiddush HaChodesh, Bris Milah, Korban Pesach, because those three mitzvahs are essentially all one. And the common denominator is, just like the unborn child makes its own first initial move and then can be born with assistance, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Goy mi kerev goy, I will allow and assist you to be born. This is literally the birth of the Jewish nation. This is the birth. It's well known in the Arizal. The Arizal says that all the Yom Tovim, from beginning to the end of the year, parallel different stages of life. From beginning to end. What's Pesach? Says the Arizal, Pesach is the birth. Like a child is birth. Child is born, as we just explained. What's the next Yom Tov? He goes through every single Yom Tov. What's the next Yom Tov? Shavuos. Shavuos is when you makabel Torah mitzvahs. That's the Bar Mitzvah. And then you get to Yom Neroyim, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. What's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We know Chosnu gets married just before his wedding. It's like Yom Kippur. It says Al-Chait. And then you have Sukkot, which is Man Simchaseinu. And it's the Sukkah, it's the Chuppah, it's the marriage. And then finally Shmini Atzeres is the Yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Cheder Yichud. It's the process of life. But either way, you see clearly that what is Pesach? Pesach is all about the birth of Klal Yisrael. It's a birth. And it's very real and very meaningful. This birth is like any other birth. The first stage, the first step in the process of birth must be made by the child itself. In order for Klal Yisrael to be born, ultimately, of course, with the assistance of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you need to make the first move. You must separate yourself from the Goyim. Understand why you follow the moon. Understand the importance of Bris Milah, and understand the significance of Korban Pesach, and you'll realize that those three mitzvahs will be your initial move. That will be your first step in the right direction. Then the birth can come to a completion by HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing the Geula. A wonderful, beautiful interpretation of the Be'er Yosef Al HaTeir. Now I think the Be'er Yosef, as beautiful as it is, we can perhaps add, suggest further depth to the Be'er Yosef. And this brings us back to a yesod that we have mentioned many, many times, and we must review it, and Be'ezus Hashem HaKadosh Baruch will help in future years. We will come back to this because this is an enormous yesod. And this is the yesod that the Beis HaLevi, the father of the whole Brisker dynasty, in his very first piece on Parashas Shemois, he has a tremendous arichos. It's a very lengthy piece, but the yesod is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. There is a famous cultural, historical question which has puzzled many over the ages. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there's a book called Why the Jews? And that's the question. That is the end of the question. Why the Jews? Anti-Semitism has been with us from decades and hundreds and centuries, thousands of years, and it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to be a rational explanation. So everybody is here out to explain why the Jews. Now, I've never seen this book, but I was told about it. It's written by two Americans, Tolashkin and Prager, who are not religious Jews by any stretch of the imagination. And their conclusion is, in this book, apparently, this is what I've heard, I've never seen the book, their conclusion is, they prove, historically, that if you look, and this is part of their question, anti-Semitism has always been there. It's always reared its ugly head here and there, but there have been pockets over the world where it seems to be less. Why is that? So their conclusion is as follows. The more religious the Jews are, the more religious the country is, the more friction there is, the more of a clash. Where you have countries that are not very religious, then the Jews don't pose a threat at all. So let them be religious, it doesn't clash with our religion, we're anyway not very believing, we're not a very religious nation. That's their conclusion. So if you want to know why is it that in Europe, for example, there's been more anti-Semitism than, for example, in South America or in China, because they're atheists, they don't believe very much, they're not religious anyway. The Jews' way of life and their religious way of life poses no threat. There's no clash. It doesn't step on their toes. But in Europe, all there's high religious culture with Christianity, etc., etc. So then there's a religious clash, because you have the Christians on the one hand and you have the Jews on the other hand, and that's where they step on each other's toes, and therefore they have to be repelled and got rid of. That's their conclusion. Their conclusion couldn't be further from the truth. Not only is it far from the truth, the way the Beis Halevi explains, it's the opposite of the truth. It's the opposite of the truth. And this is the big yisrael, and it's a mitzvah of Pharisee. The Beis Halevi is coming, above all, to answer the following question. There is a pasuk in Tehillim, if you look in Perek Kuf Hei, and it says as follows. First pasuk, Hoidu Lashem Kiru Bishmoy. Hoidu Lashem. So clearly, if that's the title of the perek, we're clearly thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wonderful chasadim that he bestows upon us. Later on in that perek, it says the following words. Hofach Libom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu switched their hearts of the goyim, Lisnoi Amoy, to hate his nation. In other words, anti-Semitism. Says the Beis Halevi, what on earth is this pasuk doing in a perek that begins with a title, Hoidu Lashem, with thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anti-Semitism? Hofach Libom Lisnoi La'amoy? Furthermore, Hofach Libom is a very strange phrase. Hofach Libom HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches their heart to hate his nation, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiates and orchestrates anti-Semitism? Is that true? And why would we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that anyway? Says the Beis Halevi, and this is the principle, may Rebbe Rabbi say. How did all of Golos Mitzrayim begin? All of Golos Mitzrayim began in the following way. He quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, as we mentioned before, Bris Milah was with Klal Yisrael for hundreds of years already, since the times of Avraham Avinu, and they were performing Bris Milah. They covered up their Bris Milah. What's known in Chazal, Moshchu Orloson. They had a way of covering the skin that the Bris Milah would not be recognizable. And the Beis Halevi proves that halachically, they were not over any Issa. Chiddush. That's his whole great Arifas, there was no Issa. So why did they want to do that then? So he says, because they were in a foreign nation, and they wanted to be absorbed into the nation of the Mitzrayim. They didn't want to look different. They didn't want to be mevatel the mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, we have a mitzvah of Bris Milah. So they found a very clever middle way. What was that? They'll cover up the Bris Milah. So on one hand, we have a constant fulfillment of the mitzvah, but we look like every guy in the street. And that way they wanted to be absorbed into the nation. Says the Beis Halevi, one moment. At the time, Klal Yisrael didn't have any other mitzvahs. This is before Matan Torah. The only mitzvah they had was Bris Milah. Not only that, Bris Milah, as we just mentioned before, the whole purpose of Bris Milah is to show that you are different. So to go and cover up your Bris Milah is the exact opposite of what the whole purpose of Bris Milah is about in the first place. There was no other distinction at the time between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim. This is prior to Matan Torah. We have one mitzvah, Bris Milah, and you're going to cover that up. The whole purpose of Bris Milah is to show you're different, and you're covering up not to be different. Says the Beis Halevi, and I must read you his words, because his words are phenomenal. He says, this is Mamash Lehepach Me'ikah Kavonas HaMitzvah. The whole purpose of Bris Milah is to divide the two to show that we're different, and you cover it up, then you're showing that we're not different. So he says a phenomenal thing. What was going to happen over here? There was a huge risk of Klal Yisrael becoming absorbed slowly, slowly, more and more into the Mitzrayim's way of life. After all, that's what they wanted. They wanted to show that we're not different to them. We're not different to them. What happens then? There is a huge sakana that Klal Yisrael just dissipate. Look what's happening across the world, Rahmanul Islam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants a hatred in the hearts of the Goyim, irrational hatred, for no rhyme and reason, Kadei Shaloi Yisarvu Imohim. There shouldn't be a tarayus. V'kol zeh, says the Beis Halevi, Loi Hoya Oynish. It's not a punishment. There's no punishment. Why is it not a punishment? Because he did nothing wrong. As we explained, when you cover up the Bris Milah, halachically, you'll still be Makayim the Mitzvah. They didn't deserve an Oynish. So why is it? Zehoyo letoivoson. This is the best possible interest for Klal Yisrael. This is their preservation. You're getting too close to the Goyim. This is too close for comfort. So Kodesh Baruch Hu now needs to separate them. Because if not, they'll end up being absorbed and assimilated, and eventually they'll disappear. Says the Beis Halevi, so now I understand. What's the title of this perek? Hoidu Lashem. As painful as it is, we actually need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anti-Semitism. We asked the question, why the Jews? So their conclusion was, because the more religious we are, the more the Goyim hate us. Says the Beis Halevi, the opposite is true. It's the opposite. It's the less religious we are, which means the closer we're getting to the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in, Hofach Libom. What does Hofach Libom mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu switches their heart. It's not that the Goyim have any good pretext to hate Jews. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling the strings. They're getting too close for comfort. Oh, Hoidu Lashem. We need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, because without anti-Semitism, then there will be no Jewish nation left. It's a phenomenal yesod of the Beis Halevi. But as mentioned, it's not just different, it's the absolute opposite conclusion of what they write in their book. It's not that the more religious they are, Klal Yisrael, then that's the more they hate us. To the contrary, it's the less religious we are, the more we run a risk of being assimilated with the Goyim, says the Beis Halevi, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be Hofach Libom. What does that mean, Hofach Libom? Switches their heart round. They had no evil intention. They had no hatred towards Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu switched it round. Lisnoi lamoi, to hate his nation. And for that we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a remarkable yesod. A remarkable yesod of the Beis Halevi. We have indeed mentioned this many, 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 many times. This definitely reminds us, and we've mentioned this also many times, the frightening, spine-chilling words of Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chochmah. The great Meshech Chochmah, what did he write in his Sefer Or Sameach, in Meshech Chochmah LaTorah? 20 years before the Holocaust. 20 years before the Holocaust, the Meshech Chochmah talks about this. Mamish Divrei Nevius. And he says, in every nation, there always runs the risk at every time that we're going to be misboilel. Mispoilo means become assimilated. And he says, that's why, for example, Yaakov Avinu laid down the groundwork. Yaakov Avinu asked that he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He asked that whilst he was still alive, make sure that I'm buried in Eretz Yisrael. Tziva b'chol oiz, with all his kriach, and he made Yosef take an oath, Likvor oisoi be'eretz Canaan. Why? When did they take Yaakov out of Mitzrayim? Only when they left Mitzrayim. That means hundreds of years after Yaakov Avinu had passed away, only then was he eventually brought to burial in Eretz Yisrael. Yes. Why so? So he says, in order that... No, Yaakov. Sorry, quite right. Says the Beis Halevi, now read his words. Ubozeh nikvar benefesh bonov. They took Yaakov to Eretz Yisrael. That means all the years they were in Mitzrayim, where was their focus? Where is our Kevah Ovos? It's in Eretz Yisrael. We're forever connected to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Meshech Chochma, that was the plan of Yaakov Avinu. He knew that Klal Yisrael could be entrenched in Mitzrayim for years and years and years. So he created that connection, even whilst they were in Mitzrayim, feel connected to Eretz Yisrael. Feel connected. You don't belong here. This is not your natural place. And he says, this is the way that over the generations and over the centuries, we know Chazal created so many Isurim. What's the whole Isur of Pas Akum? And Yayin Akum, don't drink wine that's been made by a Jew. Bread, it's all because we shouldn't. Gzeiras Chasnus, by a non-Jew. Why? Gzeiras Chasnus. Don't assimilate. Chazal were always aware of this danger. And they were constantly putting up the barriers and trying to ensure that the distance between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim is retained. And then he says his famous words, which you were referring to before, and he says, what a tragedy there is that Yachshev, there are those who think, ki Berlin, he Yerushalayim. Frightening words. There are those in Germany who think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. What are we missing? Our wonderful, kind, cultured, benevolent German hosts. We're in Yerushalayim. For all intents and purposes, we're in Yerushalayim. And of course, the sentence needs to be completed. Some people think that Berlin is Yerushalayim, some people think that New York is Yerushalayim, or London is Yerushalayim, and the tragedy is that some people think that Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. But it's not. But that's what the Meshech Chochma wrote 20 years before HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminded us in the most painful way that Berlin is not Yerushalayim after all. Because if you think it is, then Hofach Libom Lisnoi La'amri. And this has always been our story. If you look over the course of Jewish history, again, why the Jews? Pay attention to Jewish history, it shows us that the periods of deepest anti-Semitism always follow the period of greatest success for the Jews. The Spanish Inquisition, for example, followed what was called the Golden Age of Spanish Jewry. But the Golden Age of Spanish Jewry is very dangerous. Because then you get too close to the Goyim. And when you're too close, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to then separate you. And again, the Holocaust, which is, of course, the greatest anti-Semitism in living memory, came on the back of the same Yisoid. The Goyim and the Jews became almost one. Berlin, Yerushalayim, we're not lacking anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remind you that you are. As Reb Chaim Volozhin once said, if Klal Yisrael don't make Kiddush, if you're not Mekadosh yourself, you don't make Kiddush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make Havdalah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to separate you. This is the principle. And you know, it's maybe difficult to hear, but Reb Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a book called Divine Madness, where he talks about the Holocaust, and he says, I was there, I saw exactly what was going on in Europe. And I saw the tremendous danger. People talk about the pre-war shtetl, this idyllic life. It was all wonderful and marvelous, as Rav Avigdor Miller, I was there. He learned in Slobodka in Europe. And I saw that it wasn't so idyllic. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to step in, because otherwise the lights would have been turned out in Europe. When there's too much kirva between Klal Yisrael and Goyim, Hofach Libom Lisnoi La'amoy. All of this, Rabbi Yisai, gives us further depth to the beautiful interpretation of the Be'er Yosef Alateir. What did the Be'er Yosef Alateir teach us? That Klal Yisrael's leaving Mitzrayim is like a birth. And in every birth, you need to make the first move, and then the birth can happen. The first move on part of Klal Yisrael was Kiddush HaChodesh, Pesach, and Mila, which was separate yourself from the goyim. If you put that together with the Beis HaLevi, it has so much more meaning. Because that's how the Golos began in the first place. The whole Golos began when they covered up their Bris Milah. You're becoming too close to the goyim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to step in. Vayomoru es chayem. There's going to be a whole Golos. What's now the beginning of the end? How do you undo all of that? Kiddush HaChodesh, Bris Milah, Korban Pesach. If once upon a time you covered up your Bris Milah, why? Because you wanted to show that you're very similar to the goyim, then the antidote has to be, now do the exact opposite. If the Golos began when there was no segregation, then the Geula can only begin when Klal Yisrael make their first stage, first step, which is Kiddush HaChodesh. The further the moon is from the sun, the more we'll thrive. Bris Milah, we're not going to cover up the Bris Milah. Korban Pesach, we're going to shech the Avodah Zorah. We're going to make it smoke all over Mitzrayim and put the dumb on the doors and let the goyim not enter to announce that we're not similar to you after all. And when we learn that lesson, and we don't feel that Berlin is Yerushalayim, then we've made our first move. Now the birth can happen, and that precipitated Geulas Mitzrayim.